Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about issues of the day from a biblical perspective, as well as highlights from interviews, conferences, and events.
Praise the Lord, everyone. Thank you for making Illinois Family Spotlight a part of your day. This is Pastor Caesar LaFleur, board member for Illinois Family, state director for the public school exit, pastor of Spirit of Liberty Church of God. And today I'm your host, excited about this opportunity to be able to share this time with you and also to share a very special guest that I have joining me today. Bishop Arthur Geis is a renowned Bible teacher, pastor, preacher, prayer advocate, just a man of God that I've truly admired. Wonderful relationship that we've shared over the years. And I'm just really excited about sharing these few moments with him and you today. Pastor Geis, welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight.
Well, thank you so much for the invitation and the warm welcome. You had me thinking about who you were talking about when you were just spilling out all those accolades.
Well, I'm talking about you, a great man of God who has really been a blessing to my life. And once again, just excited to have you on and especially excited about talking about the things we're going to talk about today. These are vitally important. We're going to be talking about prayer and Project 2026, an initiative that I think is just really heavenly inspired, very much needed in the times that we're living in. And it's something that we believe in strongly, but unfortunately, it seems like it's an underutilized weapon that we have in the warfare that we're engaging in now. Pastor Geis, I'm reminded of Samuel Chadwick, who made a statement about prayer. He said, "The one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. Say he fears nothing from our prayerless work, our prayerless toil. Say he mocks, he laughs at us, but he trembles when we pray." Pastor Geis, talk about the importance of prayer and what Project 2026 is going to accomplish to address that.
Well, Project 2026 was a vision that was given to the prayer coordinator for Prayer at the Heart. And he used to serve as the international prayer director for the Church of God out of Cleveland, Tennessee. And the Lord spoke to him a while back and told him what would happen to this nation if he were to mobilize 1 million souls to pray for 1 million, 1 million intercessors to pray for 1 million souls to come to the Lord. And so this was born out of that vision, and we established an initiative called Project 2026. And from April 5th, which represents the beginning of Passover, until May 24th, which is Pentecost, we are trying to mobilize 1 million intercessors to pray for 1 million souls to be saved. Mm-hmm. And once I heard about the project, not just for the salvation of souls, but that we were putting evangelism secondary to the prayer foundation that was going to be laid. Because immediately when I heard about the project, I got involved and they invited me to be the state coordinator for this initiative for Illinois, and also to work across denominations to recruit people of color, different ethnicities to be a part of this. And so I was glad to be a part of this whole initiative when I found out that we were laying a foundation through prayer. The scripture that the Lord gave me as a result was out of Acts 26, beginning at verse 17, when Paul is giving his testimony of how he began to become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said that the Lord had appeared to him and told him that I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. And he said, I'm sending you to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness unto light, so that they might receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified.
Amen.
So mm-hmm. The first thing that happened was he was to deliver them from the power of Satan unto God and to open their eyes. Why, Paul? So that they could receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance. So it was his intercession, it was his engagement with the, you know, spiritual forces that are clouding the minds of God's people, that are to become God's people, from hearing and receiving the gospel message.
Amen.
So go ahead.
I just want to interject here because you mentioned about opening up their eyes. And you would agree with me that right now, the thing that we need most in this nation, even among the body of Christ, is an awakening for eyes to be open, awaken to the fact that we are in slumber, as we've talked about before, talking about the Church of Jesus Christ. And we're having very little impact on the world that we're supposed to have impact on is because of the lack of awareness, if you will, about the spiritual matters that's confronting the nation. So this is about an opportunity to awaken people. Amen?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we talked about is that it's impossible to mobilize people that have not been first awakened.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And there is a scripture that the Lord gave me about 10 days ago that I go to sleep listening to. Mm-hmm. Just to rebuild this truth in my spirit. And it comes out of Romans chapter 13, beginning at verse 11. He says that the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. But he said before he said that, he said, and knowing the time, that now is high time to awaken out of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. So he's talking about this Kairos moment that we have.
Yes.
I believe that God has given us an opportunity to reap this last day's harvest of souls. But the church is in such a slumber. You know, slumber, spiritual slumber, is an awareness of God's people that we need to change, but not having the spiritual energy to do what's necessary to make the change.
Absolutely. Pastor, I remind people at my age, I'm fully aware of what slumber is because it happens to me almost every evening as I sit in my chair watching television. You know, I fall into this slumber. I'm not all the way asleep, but I am aware that stuff is going on and I'm not able to respond to it. And so when I relate that to the church, to the body of Christ, we're slumbering. We're aware that we're not where we're supposed to be. You know, but we don't have the capacity to respond to it because of this state of slumber. And so understanding how important this awakening is and understanding how important prayer is, especially to the body of Christ. And you mentioned that we're seeking 1 million intercessors, 1 million people to come together with one accord to pray. That's a huge undertaking even in itself. You know, to get 1 million people together at one point, that talk about that. Yes. What would that mean if that could really happen? Because I know it's been tried before.
I think that one of the things that when we talk about awakening, and this is one of the areas that I have brought to this whole Project 2026, we had 21 days of prayer in January. We had about 32 nations that were involved in the, because we live streamed it on Facebook and internationally. Every night we had two sessions where we would talk about this project and what importance of prayer. Mm-hmm. But in my time allowed it, the one thing that I wanted to emphasize was the need for the church to be awakened so that we would understand what God said in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. You know, we're looking for the land to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
But if the land needs healing, that means that the land is sick.
Mm-hmm.
And if the land is sick, it's not the land's fault.
Mm-hmm.
It's the inhabitants of the people that live in the land
that pollutes it.
That pollutes the land. Mm-hmm. But the critical thing is once the land becomes polluted, it has an ability now to corrupt and to pollute the inhabitants that live there.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like if I had mold in my house and I didn't know it, and this black mold is growing in my basement. People in my house can get sick because now the house is contaminated.
Wow. Yeah.
And now we're living in a land that's contaminated and we're being affected unaware.
Oh, my God.
And so prayer from that perspective causes God to draw a deaf ear because he said his ear is not heavy that he cannot hear, neither is his arm short that he cannot save, but it's your sins that separated you between you and your God. And he refuses to hear. And Lamentations 3:44 says that he has covered himself with a dark cloud so that our prayers cannot pass through.
Oh, my goodness.
So prayer from a position of a polluted heart causes God to turn a deaf ear. So the first thing he said was, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways then. It's amazing that then stands there as the codicil to that whole verse.
It's the condition. God yeah.
is if you don't, I won't.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
But if you will, I will.
Oh, my goodness. Amen.
And so we need to understand that our first step is to come to a place of surrender. I give you one good example, and I'm going to turn it back over to you because I don't want to dominate the time.
Go ahead.
But it's amazing that Lot, now here's the key for me. Lot had the awareness to know that these men that had come to visit him were either angels or godly men, and that the inhabitants of the land of Sodom were wicked. They came and beat on his door. The Bible said men from every quarter, from young to old. Can you imagine how many men gathered at that door and said, send those men out that we might know them? They wasn't talking about getting acquainted. He was talking about knowing in the sense that Adam knew his wife and she bore him a son. They were talking about having sex with these men.
Yes.
Lot came out of the house and he said, don't do this wickedness. I have two virgin daughters that have never been touched or defiled by a man. I'll give you my daughters. You do with them what you will, but don't do this wickedness. Lot was contaminated.
Contaminated, yes.
By that society because he was living in a land that was defiled. He was defiled unknowingly. And because he was so defiled, he could not access the mind of God or the wisdom of God. The only thing he could come up with was a carnal solution. Give my two daughters to be gang raped by these men that are so depraved.
Amen. Well, wow. Well,
let me just finish this one point.
Yeah, go ahead.
So they turned on Lot and said, who made you a judge? We're going to deal worse with you. They were going to rape Lot.
Mm-hmm.
And the angels grabbed the man and pulled him back inside.
Mm-hmm.
And they went out and blinded the men. And the Bible said they wearied themselves trying to find the door to the house. And then he sent Lot out to go warn anybody else that you know, your sons-in-law to come because we're going to destroy this land. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the point. A second ago, it was unsafe for Lot to be out in the street. God moved, had a solution that Lot, in the carnality of his own mind, could never come to. Lot now is able to go out unmolested in the street after God moved.
Mm-hmm.
See, we are in this state of slumber and in this state of contamination. We can never access the wisdom in the mind of God. We are, relegated to just our own devices. But if we would allow God to cleanse our hearts and produce the wisdom that he has, we can see that million come into unity and the oneness that God has called us to.
Boy, some of the points that you made just really jumped out at me when you talked about carnal solution, that's the only thing that came to Lot's mind. And sometimes I believe that's the problem with even the church today, is that we recognize all of these problems, but yet we're coming up with carnal solutions. And we know that the things that are affecting us are spiritual in nature, and spiritual problems can never be solved by human solutions. And so we recognize the need for prayer. We're talking to Bishop Arthur Geis, and we're talking about Project 2026, which is an initiative to pray from 50 days from Passover to Pentecost, seeking to raise 1 million intercessors to come together across the country. How many are we looking for in Illinois, Pastor Geis?
When I got on board, I thought it was simple math. We have 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
If every state would mobilize 20,000 intercessors, we would reach our million.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying for Illinois and for Cook County, 20,000 is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see us reach over 50,000 intercessors.
Amen.
And I'd like to keep them as a prayer army. So whatever comes up in our state, we would have an army already mobilized, knowing how to pray.
Absolutely.
And break the grips of darkness. Let me just say one more thing that's important for us. Do you remember when there was this showdown at Mount Carmel when Elijah challenged the prophets of Baal?
Mm-hmm.
And the one thing that people miss about that whole piece is that when it was Elijah's turn to do his sacrifice, the first thing he did was rebuild the altar that had been broken down. Because when there are competing priesthoods in a land at that time, the one that was dominant wanted to break down the altar of the other group so that they could not draw the presence of their deity into that community. They broke it down, destroyed the altar of God. He had to rebuild it. But the thing that was amazing to me is when he rebuilt that altar and began to offer a sacrifice that was acceptable to the Lord while calling on the name of the Lord, a consecrated priest, the Bible said God's presence showed up and the people's hearts, all of them, turned back to God.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing.
If we could just get 50,000 intercessors that would be consecrated unto the Lord and understand that we are called to procure and to draw God's presence into our environment, we could tip the spiritual balances in Illinois and God's purposes can be manifested.
Amen. Pastor Geis, I'm excited about that. We're going to talk about it more on the other side of the break. But what I hear you encouraging us to do is to not make prayer an event, but make prayer a movement, make prayer a constant state of being for us. And if we can get 50,000 people in Illinois to come together in continuous faith-believing, united prayer with one accord, not only could we break the bonds in Springfield and break the spiritual wickedness here, but by us being centrally located in the country, it could start a revolution. It could start an awakening that could spread across this nation and turn this nation back to God. That's exciting. And you're going to want to hear some more about it on the other side of the break. This is Illinois Family Spotlight. We'll be back in one moment with more of Bishop, preacher, teacher, Reverend Arthur Geis. We'll be right back in one moment.
This is an Illinois Family Institute, IllinoisFamily.org update.
A recent report from the Pew Research Center displays America's increasing confusion about right and wrong. The 2026 survey shows the only moral issue Americans overwhelmingly agree on are extramarital affairs. The Pew study also highlights a growing political divide over morality. What one group calls freedom, another calls wrong. This reflects fundamentally different worldviews. Scripture is clear. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil. For Christians, this is a call to action. We must disciple our own families. Ground yourself in God's word. Live out truth with bold conviction and grace. Teach your children and grandchildren the Bible. The culture at large is no longer agreeing on even the most basic moral truths. Go to IllinoisFamily.org for biblical resources to equip yourself and your family. That's IllinoisFamily.org.
Should we explore outer space? This is Ken Ham inviting you to enjoy our planetarium show at the Creation Museum. Creationists are often accused of being anti-science because we reject evolution and millions of years. Because we start with God's word, not evolutionary ideas, we also reject the idea of intelligent extraterrestrial life. We believe it's a big waste of money to search for aliens. Now, this doesn't mean we're against space exploration. After all, God created an amazing universe. It declares his glory and creativity. It's his creation that points us toward him. And the more we learn about the intricacies of space, the more we're in awe of what he's done. Yes, space exploration, it can be a good thing.
Build a more biblical worldview when you visit us at AnswersRadio.com and listen to this program again and others like it when you go to AnswersRadio.com.
And welcome back to Illinois Family Spotlight. This is Pastor Cecil LaFleur, and I'm excited. I know you're excited with our guests and what the Lord is speaking through him, Bishop Arthur Geis. He's talking about this whole initiative of prayer that's launching on Passover, praying 50 days in unity with 1 million people from Passover to Pentecost, trusting God for 1 million souls to be saved. Pastor Geis, I don't know about you, but I believe there's more than 1 million souls that need to be saved in America, more than that in Chicagoland area. So this is an effort, it's actually really not an effort. We just turn into God because the work is all upon him. So we're talking about this massive prayer initiative. Before we go further, how do people that are hearing this and saying, okay, I hear you. God is speaking to my heart. I want to get involved in this prayer. I want my church to be involved in this prayer. I want my community to be involved in this prayer. What do they need to do in order to be able to sign up? You don't have to sign up for prayer, but we want to know who's praying with us. What do they need to do?
Well, I think the thing that we need to understand is that we just want to record. We're not trying to ask you to join a particular denomination.
Right.
We're asking you to take ownership of this, but just give us a way of recording how close we are to a million intercessors. Mm. And we're also going to have a website that are going to record the souls that give their heart to the Lord during this period of time so that we can help with the process of discipleship. So if you want to join us, we're asking for 1 million people praying, churches opening their doors to prayer, prayer moving into the public square, campuses, workplace, neighborhoods, city halls, prayer that is humble, visible, and real, not performative, and not hidden. They can go to prayeratheheart.org, prayer at the heart, one word, prayeratheheart.org. And there will be a sign-up sheet. All you have to do is tell us your name and your email address and things like that so that we can record the number of intercessors that we have. We're not asking, again, for you to join the movement, but then there also are other materials on that website under the resource button. You can get flyers that you can put on your Facebook page to announce it. There'll be different videos that you can use, and there'll be a prayer guide. There will be discipleship information. It is just a comprehensive effort. And this is not just a denomination. This is one of the things that I wanted to do because, you know, I have a heart for the body of Christ and the kingdom of God and not one denomination.
Yes.
But we have Ronnie Floyd and Franklin Graham from the Billy Graham Institute and different denominations that are joining with us. This is a body of Christ effort, not one ministry effort. This is a effort that is bigger than a preacher or a denomination. It's going to take a comprehensive move of God through his church to get it done.
Absolutely. You know, we're excited about that. One thing I didn't mention to people before is that I am currently the pastor of Spirit of Liberty Church of God, but Bishop Geis was the pastor here before I came. And so, first of all, I had to come in and build upon that strong foundation that was laid here, this foundation of prayer. And so our church, of course, without question, we wholly embraced this already. And we're doing, Pastor Geis, over the 50 days, we're doing programming here at Spirit of Liberty Church of God in Markham. We're going to start off on Passover with a prayer service here. And we're going to be doing a Wednesday, Sunday kind of opening and just allowing people to come and pray and be a part of this daily prayer reminders, because we are fully committed to foundation of prayer on it as the foundation of everything that we're going to try to do here. Spirit of Liberty is opening up a pregnancy help center for pregnancy women. We need the foundation of prayer here. We have Liberty Faith Academy, you know, academy coming to disciple our children, getting them out of public schools. We need this all to be laid on the foundation of prayer. And so we just embrace this as, like you said, not an event, but as an ongoing movement that we would try to reach out and connect as many people together as we can. Pastor, I just have to ask you this question. Understanding just how much power is associated in unity coming together as one and praying together and seeking a move of God's Spirit. Why is it that you think that it's so hard to get the body of Christ to really make that commitment? Could it be because we just had George Barner at the IFI Worldview Conference, and he gave us some start statistic, Pastor. He said only 8% of everyone who says that they are Christian actually have a biblical worldview. And so, you know, we look at these millions and millions, and we wonder, why is it the church is so weak? Why is the church so resistant to coming together and being one? Why is the church so resistant to even praying? Do you think that that's one of the spiritual strongholds we need to be praying to break down?
I agree with you 100%. I think that one of the things that I always look at, it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, because I'm teaching a Bible study tonight based on what we just read out of Romans chapter 13. That one of the things that I always recognize is the first thing when darkness gets the upper hand. And that's why we talk about a priesthood. The Bible said that we are a royal priesthood and a holy nation.
Mm-hmm.
God has given us a responsibility of not only being his house, but being the priest responsible for currying God's presence and favor upon our land. And one of the things that we have to recognize is when your prayer life is being quenched, it is an evidence that darkness is encroaching upon our lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing, as you said at the beginning, that's the first thing that the devil wants to do is quench our prayer lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. But the second thing is, I think it's our ignorance and our religiosity and our selfishness. Because a lot of times when we talk about how could we have an initiative of winning a million souls to the Lord be something that people resist so vehemently?
Mm-hmm.
It's because of our ignorance.
Yes.
The other thing is that we need to be awakened to the fact that Jesus never prayed a prayer that was not answered.
Oh.
Jesus prayed in John 17. This is before the cross.
That's right.
He said, Father, I pray.
Verse 1.
That the name that you've given unto me, Heavenly Father, that you would keep them through that name,
mm-hmm.
that they may be one.
One.
The glory mm-hmm. that you've given unto me, I've given unto them that they may be one.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, the love wherewith you've loved me might be in them so that the world will know.
That's right.
That you've sent me.
Mm-hmm.
So that when they become one, this is how the world is going to know that you sent me. So mm-hmm. if our evangelism of this vast harvest is predicated upon us walking and maintaining the oneness of the Spirit and the bond of peace, mm-hmm. because it's already happened.
Mm-hmm.
We need to awaken to the fact that we don't have to unify. That's mm-hmm. that's folly.
Mm-hmm.
We have already become one.
Mm-hmm.
I in them and thou in me, that we might be made perfect in one. Pastor LaFleur, that's my passion.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing a book called The Exponential Power of One.
All right, you told me, yes.
I've mm-hmm. already met with a publisher, and mm-hmm. I'm submitting, you know, the material to them very
mm-hmm.
soon.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I'm trying to present is that we have already become one.
Mm-hmm.
I have what's called kingdom mathematics.
Mm-hmm.
If A is equal to B, and B is equal to C, then A and C are equivalent to one another. I mean, if A and B are equivalent and C and B are equivalent, then A and C are equivalent. If the Spirit of God dwells in you and you dwell in the Spirit of God, and I dwell in the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God dwells in me, then we are one with one another automatically.
Amen. Amen.
The Bible says by one Spirit mm-hmm. have we all been baptized into one body and have been made to drink of that one and self-same Spirit. We're drinking from the same fountain.
Amen.
It's already in us. We're already one. And then when we awaken to that, the kingdom of darkness has no power against us, because one can chase 1,000, but two can put 10,000 to flight. What would happen if we would awaken to the fact that we are one, we're interdependent, we're interconnected, and we are to prefer one another before ourselves and actually function as a body, that each organ has its play and it's not working for its own benefit, but for the benefit of the body. And my supply comes from you, Pastor LaFleur. I don't have to look out for my needs, but the needs of others in the body. Man, we would have an organism that would be able to break the grip of darkness over our land. And so the devil fights and militates against our oneness, and our ignorance promotes it.
Pastor Geist, if you would get a little bit more excited about what you're talking about, you might be a really good communicator. You just need to liven up just a little bit, because you got chill bumps going down me, because it's so exciting. And absolutely, you're absolutely right. I don't even use the word unity anymore. It's about
absolutely.
One. We are one.
Yes,
and that's my prayer for even in Illinois. If we could just get over the things that we put up to separate us, our different, you know, commitments to denominations, organizations, and all of that. And if all of us who call on the name of Jesus, who are really Christ followers, would see that we are one, you know, it's like I just explained it, the power that could be unleashed here in Illinois is unbelievable. So I believe that we really have something to look forward to on the other side of this project, 2026. In my mind, my spiritual imagination, I can imagine the power that could be flowing after Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, when we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit that ignited God's church, what could be done in this land when God's people come together with oneness, in unity, with one accord, praying together for a move of God's Spirit, and believing that God is going to hear and answer prayer. That's mind-boggling to me. So once again, it's Project 2026. How, once again, Pastor, can people get connected? One more time before we go.
We can get connected by going to a website, prayeratheheart.org. O-R-G, prayer, one word, prayeratheheart.org. And there's a sign-up sheet, and there are other materials there. Pastor LaFleur, can I make one more comment before we go?
Yes, please do.
Okay, just 10 seconds. We have a ministry called Full of Glory Ministries. That's what we're doing now. And I had a vision years ago about the city of Chicago being ablaze with the glory of God, like the Chicago Fire was years ago. And I started pursuing understanding about the glory. Now, one of the things I want to point out is that when the flood of Noah came, the Bible said that the water came not only from heaven, but the fountain of the deep was broken up. Mm. And that's where the majority of the water came from, was when the fountain of the deep was broken up. And Jesus said in John 7, he said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water.
Mm.
What if rivers were flowing out of me and rivers were flowing out of you and rivers were flowing out of members of the body of Christ? There would be a tsunami of life and life-giving power that would overflow and overcome darkness and everything that the devil has in our lives.
Mm.
You know, if we would just put our tributaries together and our rivers together,
yes,
we could see a spiritual flood of God's power sweep this nation.
I hope you've been encouraged by what Bishop has shared with us today. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts and our minds. Just give us the capacity to imagine what God is able to do when those conditions are set. If we meet those conditions, if we humble ourselves, if we pray, if we seek his face, and turn, then he says he will hear, then he will move. Let's imagine what could happen as a result of God's people coming together and praying. I pray that everyone under the sound of our voices today is going to go on. Once again,
prayeratheheart.org.
Prayeratheheart.org today, and make sure that you become a part of this connected movement of Bible Christ believers, Christ followers, who are going to come together as one and pray and seek God's move of his Spirit across this nation and across our land so that our land could be healed. Bishop Geis, what a wonderful 30 minutes to be able to share with you. Praying that we're going to have great more opportunities to be able to do this. And all of you all out there, would you just close us out in prayer and just bless our people, bless the listeners, and bless this move of God?
Father, I thank you so very much for this opportunity. Father, you said in your word that you have chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we will be alive at this time in human history, at this place in Illinois, to be used of you to accomplish your purposes. I pray for a great awakening among your people, that we would awaken to the time and the season, but also to our responsibility and to the oneness that we already have manifestly received through our Lord Jesus Christ, and that you would use us in these last days to be a witness, not just to witness with our mouths, but to live the gospel every day and the power of your gospel to change lives. And we would impact, Heavenly Father, not only our state, but this nation and ultimately this world. Move in the hearts of your people, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you all for listening, and God bless each and every one of you all. Thank you.
For more information about Illinois Family Spotlight, visit ifiaction.org. And to email questions and comments, do so at feedback@ifiaction.org.